The text for this sermon is the Pentecost story that Pastor Wilkie read just a few moments ago, but I'm going to extend it a bit because we need to also talk about the sermon that Peter preached that very same day. I'm not going to do the whole sermon, I'm just going to do bits and pieces of the verses to give you a flavor for what he said. This is starting with verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to hold him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. First of all, greetings to all of you. It's great to be standing in this pulpit once again. And I figured out one thing as I was preparing to come here, that I'm actually Grace Lutheran's oldest former pastor that's living. I'm pleased to be standing here among you today of all days. Why today of all days? Well, when Kristen first contacted me to invite me to be a guest preacher, she gave me a few Sundays right around this particular time, and I saw this one was available, and I snagged it. Pentecost. The great festival of Pentecost, right up there with the other two great festivals of the church year, Christmas and Easter. Pentecost. Well, what's so special about Pentecost? Well, as we look around in the world, doesn't seem all that special. The other church festivals get far more attention. A lot is made of Christmas time, though probably a lot more about Santa and the trappings of the reindeer and the holiday and gift giving and so forth than the Christ who came. And Easter, not quite so much, and yet bunnies and chocolates and eggs and things like that overshadow the empty tomb and the Christ who rose. But Pentecost? Well, outside of the walls of churches like this one, nobody pays attention because the world isn't listening. So why was I so jazzed to preach in this church during your anniversary year on Pentecost Sunday? Well, think about this. How much more perfect is it to help celebrate the anniversary of this congregation founded on a language issue than to do it on the very church festival where God the Holy Spirit showed his power to start the Holy Christian Church on earth by a language issue? And so on this Pentecost Sunday, in your centennial year, this will be my theme. Listen, what do you hear? Listen, what do you hear? Well, generations before that first Pentecost, you would hear voices gathering together, all saying basically one thing clearly, that instead of honoring the name of God, they wanted to make a name for themselves, and they hatched a scheme to do it by building a tower to storm heaven. Now, as silly as that sounds, because the engineer would tell us that no matter how heavily that they constructed the base, that eventually, if it got tall enough, the thing would collapse under its own weight. And the scientists would tell us that if by some chance they did get this thing built high enough into the sky, that the thin air would stop them because they had no technology to carry supplemental oxygen. It seemed silly. Sillier yet when you consider that heaven is not located in time or space as we understand it, so you can't build to it, drive to it, climb to it, dig to it, or get to it in any way on your own. Silly. But God was listening, and he didn't think it was silly. God was listening, and he was very concerned that just generations after a worldwide flood had been necessary to destroy a sinful, disobedient population, sin and disobedience were at it again. Humans were once again plotting against God, and so God's solution was to confuse their languages, pit them against each other so they could not galvanize into a worldwide force against God. And the result? Well, people could talk all they wanted, and they could listen as carefully as they wanted, but they couldn't understand each other. And thus, they couldn't collude with each other in their wickedness. And so with this, God had put another part of his plan in place to save the world. God confused their languages, setting the stage for different cultures, different races, different ethnicities, different nations, setting the stage for Pentecost. And might I dare say, setting the stage for the foundation for the founding of Grace Lutheran Church of Norfolk, Nebraska. Listen, what do you hear? Well, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, God was ready to reverse the mess that was made at Babel. What do you hear? You hear the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. Well, that it was wind is significant because in both of the Hebrew and the Greek languages, which are the original languages that make up most of the Bible, one word in each language translates into English as either wind or breath or spirit. And so for God to make the presence of his spirit known, the roar of wind is perfect. And that it was mighty? Well, sometimes when God wants to make sure that people are paying attention and that wants to make a point that it is all his doing, he usually does something spectacular. In other words, God sometimes has to grandstand in order to make sure that not only are people listening, but that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is the one in charge, that God is the one speaking, that God is the one acting. Listen, what do you hear? Uneducated fishermen, tax collectors, and others speaking languages that they had never been taught. One of my regrets in life is that I didn't learn German young enough that I could be very well conversant in it. I can kind of get around in it and do what I need to do. Now, your average Jewish guy back in the day, in Jesus' day, was probably familiar with about three languages. Hebrew, because it was the language of their ancestors and of most of the Old Testament. Aramaic, because that's what was spoken in Jewish homes since the Babylonian exile some 600 years before Christ. And Greek, because Alexander the Great, when he conquered the known world, had made Greek the language of trade and commerce throughout the known world about 300 years before Christ. But the Pentecost story tells us that now they started speaking in a whole lot of other languages that they had never been taught. Listen to the text beginning again with verse 7 and following. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." All those languages. Maybe even all at once. It must have sounded like a Babel. And that's significant because it was Babel. It was Babel. reversed. Listen, what do you hear? Powerful Pentecost preaching. In the verses following what Pastor Wilkie read that I summarized to you, Peter preaches law. He accuses that crowd gathered there of killing Jesus. What a terrible group. Yes, he says that they crucified God's Son. How dare they? But how did Peter know that that crowd was the same crowd that called for the crucifixion of Jesus? Was he taking notes while he was busy dodging responsibility as he was denying Jesus on Maundy Thursday? Or maybe he memorized the faces that he and the other disciples ran past as they left Jesus to die alone on the cross on Good Friday while they hid like cowards for their own safety. Hardly. He didn't have to. Because each and every person there was guilty of killing Jesus. That's right. Peter could say, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt, that each and every one of those people there that day was guilty of killing Jesus, and so are you. Each and every one of you. What? Wait a minute. We weren't there. That was 2,000 years ago. It was those crowds of people in Jerusalem. It was the Romans. It was those Jewish religious leaders. It was... Listen. What do you hear? You too hear Peter's voice accusing you of Christ's crucifixion. It was you. Your foul language, your mean words, your hateful comments, your lusty gazes, you killed Jesus. You're ignoring the needs of others around you. You killed Jesus. You're looking down on others and thinking that you're better than they are. You killed Jesus. You do confess that when you come into the church service, do you not? Do you confess your sins, that you have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, sinned by what you have done, sinned by what you have left undone? Do you think about what you say? Do you really listen to those words? Do you really mean those words as you listen to what you're saying? Listen, what do you hear? You hear more powerful Pentecost preaching because Peter doesn't stop with the law. He preaches gospel to troubled sinners. Yes, while Peter's powerful Pentecost preaching puts you together with that group that killed Jesus, we also hear about how we stand with another group, how we actually stand with Jesus, who was once wet with water, as is pictured by that window in the West Transept. Yes, when Jesus was baptized, all of us who are baptized are connected into his death, and along with his death, the salvation that that death accomplished for us. We are rotten sinners. Rotten sinners, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that cleanses us from all sin. Listen. What do you hear? 100 years ago, in Lutheran services right here in Norfolk, this is something of what you would hear. Vater unser im Himmel, geheiliget werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe wie im Himmel so auf Erden. But there was a problem. 100 years ago, there was a growing number of people who, no matter how carefully they would listen, wouldn't understand what I just said. Well, perhaps you recognized it just even by the flow of the words, and I know you'll not recognize it when you hear it in English. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so in 1919, a group of families decided that it was time, empowered by that same Pentecost Holy Spirit, to move the Lutheranism of Norfolk into a new language. And you bought the old First Baptist building and dragged it from 5th and Phillip and set it up shop right down here at 5th and Park. And then within a few years had to remodel it, and the congregation continued to grow wildly so that even before your first decade as an existence as a congregation, you sold that building, moved it off, and built this wonderful facility that has served this congregation so well for 90 years. Listen, what do you hear? For 100 years, you hear the Word of God connecting with ordinary water, adopting sinners at the font to be the people of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For 100 years, you hear catechumens as the Holy Spirit we celebrate this day moves in them to confess their faith and promise themselves loyal to this faith and confession in the rite of confirmation. For 100 years, you hear the power of the Word of God, the very words of Christ, speaking the forgiveness of Christ, using voices belonging to servants named Brandhorst, Raywalt, Deakey, Russert, Wilkie, McPike, Hazard, Thiessen, and Asbury. For 100 years, the power of the Word of God has connected itself to ordinary bread and wine to empower you through the reception of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in faith towards God and in fervent love toward one another. For 100 years, the Word of God has proclaimed to you comfort in the midst of your tears, that those whose bodies are rolled in and out of this church in caskets are not lost, but await reunification with their heavenly souls at the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Listen, what do you hear? A little over 25 years ago, a great distance from here, voices were heard. Voices of need and desperation crying out from what up until that time had been called an iron curtain. And you responded to that need by the power and mercy of God, and the effort and organization called Orphan Grain Train was born. And since then, through Grain Train, you continue to listen. And when you hear those voices in need, you find ways to respond by finding visible, tangible, physical ways to love them the way that God loves them. Listen, what do you hear? Well, what do you hear? I hear silence. Huh? What's that? Yes, I hear silence. And in that silence, I wonder if there isn't a challenge. I trolled the websites of all four LCMS congregations in this town, and I didn't find a single word on any of them that said anything about reaching out in a language other than English. Yet according to U.S. Census figures, the most recent ones, over 13% of this community somehow are rooted or connected in some way with a native language other than English, and so that makes me wonder. Among all of the things that you are doing well, could this same church, founded 100 years ago on a language issue, be the church that the same Pentecost Holy Spirit is calling to take on a new language issue? I know, it's not comfortable. Just like it wasn't comfortable for fishermen to leave their boats and their nets and follow Jesus. Just like it wasn't comfortable for tax collectors and others to leave everything and follow Jesus. Just like it wasn't comfortable for that group of early apostles being accused of drunkenness at 9 a.m. because they were babbling in a plethora of languages while it appeared that their hair was on fire in the midst of what sounded like a windstorm. Listen, what do you hear? Here stands the font before our eyes, telling how God has received us. The altar recalls Christ's sacrifice and what his supper here gives us. Here sound the scriptures that proclaim Christ yesterday, today, the same, and evermore. our Redeemer. Listen, what do you hear? The Spirit of power whom we celebrate this day has blessed the Holy Christian Church on earth throughout the ages. The Spirit of power whom we celebrate this day has blessed Grace Lutheran Church, Norfolk, Nebraska, throughout the past century. The Spirit of power whom we celebrate this day is moving to do great things that can happen through you in the future. 2,000 years ago, that Spirit moved a motley group of Jesus followers to set up the Holy Christian Church on earth. 100 years ago, that Spirit moved a group of about 10 families to plop a church building down on this corner and start preaching and teaching and doing ministry in the English language. That Spirit is moving to do great things in the future. I can think of no better way to conclude this sermon than to ask you to take your hymnals and turn to 833. Hymn number 833, a hymn that is written for antiphonal singing. The refrain is sung twice each time it's sung, at the beginning, between each stanza, and at the end. I'll play the part of the leader, and you can play the part of all. And we'll sing this hymn together from the Lutheran Church in Tanzania. Listen, God is calling.
Listen. Listen. Jesus gave his mandate. To save us. Listen.
And now the one word for which you've all been waiting, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.